Speakeasy.
Words.
Lingo.
Speakeasy.
Language.
Speakeasy on ABC Radio Perth.
And time to step into the speakeasy. Daniel Midgley is here. He is the host of the podcast, Talk the Talk. Good morning, Daniel Midgley.
Hello, Paula, and hello, Peter.
And we're talking this morning about words that we may mispronounce because we've read them before we've actually heard them.
Oh, man, I think everybody's got a couple of these,
yes,
haven't you?
Do you want to hear my big one?
I think I'm ready.
It's a place, well, it's a place name, but it's not Yosemite National Park in California. It is Yosemite National Park.
And that beloved Warner Brothers character, Yosemite Sam. That was one of mine. That was definitely one of mine as a kid.
Anyone who has read the Harry Potter books, a lot of people who have read the Harry Potter books and then watched the movies afterwards were a little bit surprised when it was Hermione. All this time I've been reading her as Hermione or Hermione or whatever it might be.
But with that whole genre of books, whether it's Lord of the Rings, whether even, you know, Game of Thrones, there's so many complicated names in there. I'm sure there was a lot of people that when it eventually came onto their screens or they heard the names that they thought, is that who we're talking about now?
You know? There are kind of two kinds of errors here. I think there's one where you've never heard the word, and so you just kind of say it however you read it. And then there's the kind where you do know the word, but you just never connected it with that thing you're reading. And the one for me was, the facade of a building.
Oh, yeah.
I knew the word facade, but I always read it as facade. And then I finally had, oh, that's the word I was trying to read and say.
But, you know, facade strangely makes sense.
Yeah, I don't mind that as a word, actually.
Because it's fake.
Exactly.
A little bit.
I quite like it. So what's the word that you continually mispronounce because you've read it before you've heard it? Perhaps I should play this from our former Prime Minister.
Yes, I'll leave the political commentary and hyperbole to you.
Hyperbole.
That's like the Super Bowl.
That's right. She's not alone there, though, no. Julia Gillard. That is probably a pretty frequent one that's mispronounced.
I think if you're going to have a bowl, you should have a hyperbole. Why not? This takes me to the name of it. There's no accepted name for these things.
And oh, okay.
I think we should get one going.
Let's make one up.
Okay. Well, I've got a few
fake aid, I think it should be called.
Fake aid is okay. Another one is calliope.
Oh.
Because of the calliope, the musical instrument, which many people read as calliopes, and I like to call them calliopes. However,
I'm just going to pretend I knew exactly what he was talking about, even when he said it correctly. Oh, yes, that thing.
Oh, yes.
Carry
the calliope.
On. Yes.
Other people call them persephones, and I quite like that because I do know somebody named Persephone, and she's constantly called persephone. And, you know, there are homophones, and then there are persephones. So that's pretty good. Other people call them only Redditisms, and someone I've seen on the net calls it booklish. You're speaking booklish.
Ah, I quite like booklish and Redditisms.
Only Redditisms.
Only Redditisms.
So if you have a preference, I would love to hear what your vote is. Do you like to call them calliopes, persephones, only Redditisms, or perhaps booklish?
Mike says, I remember hearing someone pronounce the word Ori.
Go on, Peter.
For the first time, I'd always read it Ori. Luckily, I'd never said it out loud. So awry, obviously.
Something going awry.
Yes, Ori. That's an easy one to make the mistake with as well.
Totally understand. By the way, this is a no-peeve zone. We're very accepting of creative pronunciations. Paula, as you said once, don't you just love how when everybody does the wrong thing, if we just keep doing the wrong thing, it becomes the right thing?
Absolutely.
That's the way language works.
I like when the mispronunciations are actually more appropriate
and
a better word.
It just makes sense.
As well.
You know, my parents had a bit of a chuckle when I was a child over me pronouncing antiques. There was an antique shop, and so we decided to pick up some antiques.
I wouldn't mind going to one of those antique shops as well. Perhaps those people queuing for that job.
Do you have to line up at an antique shop?
That's very good
point. See, that's true. You don't have lineups outside antiques.
You don't. The other one, I saw it in big letters on the wall of a department store. Lingerie. People shopping for lingerie.
Yeah.
Now, that's an interesting one because, of course, how would you pronounce that word? But do you have a preference?
Yeah. You know, underpants.
The sexy underwear. Most people pronounce it lingerie. Yes. Am I correct?
Yep.
That isn't the French pronunciation.
What is the French pronunciation?
Well, remember, it comes from linge, which means linen, which suddenly the word makes sense, right? They would say it something like lingerie.
Okay.
But not lingerie.
Lingerie?
It's one of these fake French things that we're trying to be fancy and getting it. But see, that's the word now. And so that's the thing about pronunciation.
Okay. There's some really funny ones here. And I'm going to I've got the text screen in front of me.
Yes.
Yeah, which is not a cue for you to start abusing me, everybody. But fair enough when I get some of these wrongs. Brendan says, once again, Coburn raises its ugly head. comes up every week.
Yes.
Katie says, and this is a terrific one, Katie. Thank you for reminding me. Quinoa. Mm. So many people, obviously, quinoa.
Yes.
Quinoa.
Because let's just spell that. That's Q-U-I-N-O-A.
Yeah, it's quinoa, isn't it?
It looks like quinoa.
Absolutely looks like quinoa. So how many people would have said it that way?
That mischievous Q, you know, it gets in the way a lot, not just in antiques, other places as well.
Declan wants to know, Glendalough, why it shouldn't be Glendalough. After all, it means the Glen of the Two Lakes in Gaelic.
Okay, when we're dealing with things like O-U-G-H and things, we're dealing with an interesting case of sound change, because that used to be with a ch. But we don't have a ch in English anymore, unless you're Scottish and you're living down by the loch. But even that is starting to go to loch now. Mm. So we had a choice to do. We could do it O-U-G-H, or we could do it like we could pronounce it with a f. Because what's the closest thing to ch? Some people thought g, and some people thought f, and some people just thought nothing.
Yeah.
Which is why all these words that end in O-U-G-H, you know, you've got through, and you've got tough, and you've got lots of other things.
Daniel, you're forgetting that you're the linguist. So that last sentence, I could process none of what you were just saying then. I'm sure it made perfect sense to you, but
to me,
you were just making a whole lot of sort of guttural sounds.
I was trying. Well, that's what the radio's for.
So the word you continually mispronounce because you've read it before you've heard it, hyperbole. Thank you, Julia Gillard. That one. Here's another really good one, Daniel and Paula. Amanda has sent it through. It's a name. I believe it's Welsh. Siobhan.
Yes.
How many people, including myself, you read it? Siobhan?
Cioban.
Hi, Cioban. It's Siobhan. Oh, that's how you said it. That's how it's spelled, right?
I think the Irish
first
names
time around
as well, like Sean.
Sean.
And the different spellings of Sean, for goodness sake.
Seon is one that I've accidentally pronounced. Gaelic orthography is something that, I just have never really gotten a good grip on.
A great one from Graham says the word key.
Yeah.
Oh, as in?
Quay.
Oh, quay.
You see it there, it's quay.
Yeah.
It's a quay.
And kids would look at it for the first time. Oh, the quay? And clearly it's key.
Yeah.
I found that there are three main errors that people make. One is an error in syllable parsing. So, for example, you see the word co-worker, and momentarily you read it as a cow orker, somebody who orks the cows, which I've never. And I was reading Animal Farm once, and the first scene talks about how the animals were complaining because they were underfed.
Underfed?
Oh, they were underfed.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I just read that wrong. Time to go derf the cows, ma, you know, after I ork them or something. So that's one problem. Another one is mistranslating sound values, like letters that seem silent but aren't, and that's where we get hyperbole and epitome.
Yeah.
Right? And then sometimes mischievous borrowings from foreign languages, like macabre. Oh, that's pretty macabre. It's what? Macabre.
Okay, yeah.
And, of course, lingerie.
Yes.
Vic from Balcatta, thank you, says a teacher called the roll and said, penelope, as in antelope, for Penelope. This is very difficult to do, actually, if via the text message, but I'm assuming, yeah. So penelope as in antelope, which is interesting.
And her friend Persephone, of course.
Yeah, that's right. This may not be connected, but we've also had another text message that just wants your view, Daniel, on oriented. Orientated.
Oh, right. Okay, so back in my non-linguist days, I noticed myself saying orientated, and I thought, well, that doesn't make any sense because it's got an extra syllable. I can just say orientate or orient. You can orient yourself. But then I learned that there are a lot of words where we actually do have an extra syllable, and it's no big deal, and we just accept it. For example, do you think the word jeopardize is okay? It's okay to say I'm jeopardizing.
Yeah, sure.
Okay, well, 200 or 300 years ago, people would say, oh, what are you doing? The word is jeopard.
Oh, okay.
You're jeopardizing your chances.
Oh.
But then eventually everybody did the wrong thing, and it became the right thing. And so, you know, nowadays I don't complain about orientate. It's fine. Everybody says it. And if everybody says it, then that's language.
There's a few more here as well.
Oh, nice.
Brendan, serious word, manslaughter, man's laughter.
Oh, no.
Man's laughter.
That would be very confusing, wouldn't it, for a kid learning that one? Man's laughter.
The big one for me was when I was reading murder mysteries, speaking of man's laughter, and I'd be reading wad units. And then it took me a long time to realize I was actually reading whodunits.
say that one again. What were you calling it?
What you doing, son? Oh, I'm just reading a wad unit, Mom.
A wad unit.
Is that like a measure of distance or something?
And when kids first learned to read, I had a cousin that used to talk about Ellie pants. Big Ellie pants.
That's cute.
That is cute.
And she meant elephants.
Obviously, they're enormous grey pants.
That's right.
Peter, good morning.
Yeah, good morning. I can never understand the word Elizabeth key or secular key when it's quay.
Yep.
Where does the kay come from?
So that caught you out a few times, Pete?
Oh, yeah. Well, once I took my grandchildren to the city, they were about 9 or 10 in secular key. And when there's, with the train arrive at the station, there's a secular quay. I said, no, it's secular key.
Yeah, wrong place.
So that's coming from a couple of places. It comes all the way back from Gaulish cagum, which meant enclosure. But then the French spelling came in. So it's one of those things where we took the French spelling but kept the old French pronunciation.
Yes. Well, my name actually is Pasquale. They call me Peter to make it easy for everyone. But the thing is, qua, Pasqua.
Yeah.
So why is it secular... not secular quay.
Exactly. Hey, I would totally go with your original pronunciation.
Good on you, Pete. Thank you for that. Mark says, I got accused of casting nasturtiums once instead of casting aspersions.
Oh, yes.
I suppose.
It's fine to cast nasturtiums. Yeah, they're cute.
This is the Speakeasy with Daniel Midgley, host of the podcast Talk the Talk, and we're chatting about the word continually mispronounced because you've read it before you've heard it. Now, I've got to be very careful with this one.
Okay.
The financial reporter. So this is a surname.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
And I'm not going to say what the alternative pronunciation could be.
Okay.
Okay.
But the correct pronunciation, Clitheroe.
Yes.
Spelt a little bit different.
Okay.
To gotta that. Watch, and that would have been rather embarrassing for someone as well. Phlegm has been nominated as a word that, phlegm. You could easily say phlegm, couldn't you?
Mm. I'll just bet you that's one of those where it was originally spelled without the G, but then someone decided to Greekify it. This happens, salmon, or no, sorry, falcon. Mm. Falcon didn't used to have the L, but then people thought, whoa, Latin's totally awesome, and it used to have an L in Latin, so let's stick the L in there, and now everyone says falcon. Would you say falcon?
No, I'd say falcon.
Yeah. But it was originally spelled in English without the L.
But you say salmon, as you say.
I don't know. Do you say salmon?
I've heard people say salmon.
I've heard salmon. Definitely salmonella.
Yes, but not the fishy fish.
What's going on there?
I don't know.
Emma. Now, there's a lot here. Emma says archipelago.
Oh.
Archipelago. That does sound like a nice resort.
Mr. Lago, yes, of course.
A friend, one of Emma's friends said that one. We still don't let her get away with it. Matt in North Perth has mentioned the town in Thailand, Phuket.
Ah, yes.
Ah, classic.
Yeah, many Australians have probably muffed that one as well. What about buoy boy?
Yeah.
I'm still not sure how to say that.
Yeah, is it, Americans say buoy, don't they? Yeah.
I guess they do. I always learned to say boy, but it sounded funny because it sounded too much like boy. So then I just elongate it.
Yes.
Boy.
Yeah, and of course in the States, calling, using the word boy in the wrong context can be quite an insult if you're not careful about it.
I was shipwrecked and held onto a boy all night.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. So it's tricky territory.
Jan, thank you. Jan says orient and orientate actually have different meanings. So thank you for that, Jan.
I need to check that one out.
Yeah. Aluminium. Aluminum.
Aluminum.
Okay, well, here's the deal with that. It used to be, people hear aluminum and they think, rotten Americans. But that was the way it was spelled and pronounced back in the old days, even in England. What the British did was they decided, well, let's change it from aluminum to aluminium to mix with, to make it sound like other elements like strontium and borium.
And helium.
Barium, helium. Mm. But the Americans are actually doing it the original way. Not saying that's right, but the British are the innovators here.
Daniel, a lot of fun as always, and thanks everyone for your text messages, the words we continually mispronounce because you've read it before you've heard it. That was a lot of fun.
And remember, never make fun of someone if they pronounce a word. It means they learned it by reading.